Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
God, it's Monday. TGIM, Michael Savage. I survived another weekend without the news. Here I am, Monday. Thank God. I don't know what life was like before radio, but I don't want to go back there. I'll tell you that. Now, what do the following have in common? What does Rush Limbaugh's wedding have to do with the Bilderbergs and have to do with Helen Thomas, Hitler in a Girdle? The answer is nothing, except those three stories are circulating in the mind of Michael Savage at about the same pace and about the same time. It is though I am the sun and they are the planets of my mind, and each of those planets is worthy of further inspection. So where shall I begin? Shall I begin with Hitler in a Girdle, who I called on Friday Hitler in a Girdle, and called, I was the first in the media to say she should lose her White House press credentials. And I want to be very clear. Michael Savage is very sensitive to issues of free speech, as you can well imagine. I never said Helen Thomas should be fired, nor did I say that Hearst should fire her. Not that they listen to me anyway. You know, I don't exist. Just because everyone steals my ideas, even Ari Fleischer must be a listener. I don't know who he is, but he must be a listener because I saw my own quote. He must be looking for a job in radio. I don't blame him. It's a good business, but it's too late. Anyway, the point is this. What is the point? The point is it's Monday and I survived another weekend. That's the point. So Hitler in a Girdle, I said she should lose her White House press credentials. See, it's different if she was simply writing a column and she was a Jew hater or she was a bigot. She's entitled to be a bigot or a Jew hater. There are plenty of bigots who hate all sorts of people. There are black bigots. There are brown bigots. There are Asian bigots. There are white bigots. And then there are hidden bigots. It's part of the human condition. In fact, most people are racist. See, that's the funny thing that you don't understand, is that behind closed doors, virtually everyone has a race that they don't like and a race that they do like. And there's a ranking of races that they like and races they don't like, but they won't say it. So we're all overly sensitized when a woman comes along and says a thing like that, but she's not just a reporter. She has credentials to the highest office in the world, into the White House press corps. That's what I said. She's violated all the tenets of objectivity, if there ever were any. They had to go out the window. I said they should strip her of her press credentials. So that was number one. And I did that on Friday. And Monday, lo and behold, she's gone. But she did the whole thing. I mean, it's all gone. Oh, and you should hear the glowing commentary. Even on Fox News, she broke the glass window or whatever, the glass ceiling. She broke it for women in the news. Oh, what nonsense. That's like saying Eva Braun broke new ground as a woman by living out of wedlock with Adolf Hitler. Come on, give me a break. Broke news. I understand she has a few new offers, Helen Thomas. She's going to, apparently, been offered to become Erdogan's personal blogger in Turkey. I also heard that she's been offered to come to Iran and write Ahmadinejad's biography, and that she may be going to Venezuela to report on the achievements of the Fourth Reich down there. But we can't confirm or deny any of these possibilities. Now, I also want to talk about Rush Limbaugh's wedding. First of all, I wish him well. Any man in his late 50s who marries a 33-year-old woman, we know one thing. I have a friend who's in his 80s, and he dates women in their 30s. And he said to me, one thing I've learned in life, to thine own self, do not BS. You know, he reversed it. He said, let me put it to you this way. They don't date me for my body. He also happens to be very wealthy. So he's a funny guy. He knows where it's at. So everyone knows it's a gold digger thing. We all know that. That's okay. That's not the first time we've seen a thing like this. The odd part about Limbaugh's wedding was that he would choose Elton John to perform. Now, Rush Limbaugh has come out against gay marriage, repeatedly come out against gay marriage in order to maintain his creds with the right-wing audience, so to speak, if there is a right-wing audience. I don't quite know if there is one. And so he's come out against gay marriage over and over again. And yet he hires Elton John to sing at his wedding. I found that to be bizarre, and I want to ask you a question. I want to leave it to you, okay? Do you think Rush Limbaugh discredited himself by hiring Elton John to sing at his wedding? And I want to reverse it now. If you are gay or you support gay marriage, do you feel Elton John discredited himself by singing at Rush Limbaugh's wedding? The reason I ask it is this. When I read the news that Elton John had sung at Limbaugh's wedding for $1 million, it leads me to believe that for some media commentators, it's just a game. To me, Rush Limbaugh hiring Elton John to sing at his wedding is the equivalent of Keith Olbermann having David Duke perform the service at his wedding, or Rachel Maddow marrying her girlfriend and having George W. Bush perform the ceremony. Or what if Nancy Pelosi bought lasagna from Mussolini's ravioli shop? Or what if you woke up and read that Paul McCartney got oral surgery from a KKK dentist in Alabama? Or that Chris Matthew would get his few remaining hairs cut by Joran van Vondersloot? Or what if you woke up and read that Jerry Seinfeld was buying kosher bacon in Syria? Or Bill Maher was buying drugs from the Aryan Nation in Montana? Or that Rahm Emanuel was buying bullets from a neo-Nazi reloader in Montana? Or what if you read that Michael Savage was going to get his teeth done by Obama's Kenyan uncle? Or that, what if you read that Nancy Reagan hired Madonna to perform the funeral service for Ronald Reagan? To me, it's the same as me reading Rush Limbaugh hiring Elton John to sing at his wedding. Or what if you woke up one day and you read that, well, Jimmy Carter converted to Judaism and hired Sammy Davis Jr. as a mole? Or that Bill Clinton took on a public vow of celibacy and was officiated by Pope Benedict? Or what if you woke up in the morning and you read that Robert Byrd requested in his will that Clarence Thomas be a pallbearer at his funeral? And not to be outdone, what if Helen Thomas hired Jackie Mason to perform at her great-granddaughter's bat mitzvah in Israel? To me, it's about the same thing as Rush Limbaugh hiring Elton John to sing at his wedding. That's why I say TGIM, it's the Savage Nation. I'm open for business. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. As you can see, when I opened the show today, I said to you, the Bilderbergs, which I haven't talked about yet. We'll talk about that in a minute. We have the list of those attending the Bilderberg meeting. You don't even know what that is. They are not, let me put this in. The Bilderbergs, although the name sounds Jewish, they're not the the enemies of Helen Thomas. That's a very subtle joke. Let's put it this way. Helen Thomas's worldview and that of the Bilderbergs would be the same, and I don't know if their tastes and food are the same outside of the hummus. But the fact of the matter is, they're meeting right now somewhere in Spain in the most secretive meeting on earth, and they are allegedly the New World Order. I looked at the list of people at the Bilderberg meeting. Alec Jones got it and published. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. The very same people who brought about the economic collapse that gave us Obama are meeting in Spain, I guess, to scheme up the next thing they're going to do to us in order to turn us into serfs, I think. Anyway, you see where I'm coming from or not? Or you don't know what I'm talking about and you're ready to listen to a ball game. Whatever you want to do, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. One. Do you feel Rush Limbaugh discredited himself by hiring Elton John to sing at his wedding? Two, if you are gay or you support gay marriage, do you feel Elton John discredited himself? You see, I wouldn't ask, you didn't think I'd ask that, by singing at Rush Limbaugh's wedding. And how much of talk radio and conservative cable shows do you feel is just a show? How much of it is just an act? It's funny how many times I've been interviewed, and you know I've had the big ones. I've had the New Yorker, Playboy, Wall Street Journal. They all ask me the same question. You know, Savage, how much of what you do you really believe in, and how much of it is for entertainment? And I look at them with astonishment and say, you mean just because you don't have any beliefs, you assume I don't? They don't even know how to answer that question because they don't know what the word beliefs means. They don't even understand that some people actually believe what they say. I say what you hear on my radio show is one-tenth of what I actually believe. I said the iceberg beneath me is nine-tenths bigger and nine-tenths more, let us put it to you this way, more American. To put it the nice way, you know. So there it is. Questions for the Savage Nation. You got the phone number. I gave you the notes. I gave you the comparisons. The weather is nice. People are wonderful and business is great. Florida's 110 degree, the heat index. I got friends in Florida. They're suffering. It's almost like a biblical plague with boils and frogs and locusts down there right now. I don't know what's coming next. Hurricanes, tornadoes, frogs, locusts. Did you ever read that stuff in what God inflicted upon the Egyptians for what they did to the ancient Jews? frogs, plagues, locusts. It's like Miami today. But here in San Francisco, I got to tell you the truth. The people, forget it. They're from hunger. But the weather, the best on earth. The Miwoks gave it up, man. They never should have. All right, maybe they have a Miwok gambling casino today or whatever's left. But the fact is, when you got to make, you know, if you wake up, if you live near San Francisco Bay, which I'm lucky enough at times to do, I'm like 10 feet from the water. You wake up on a morning and there's fog on the bay and it's lifting. It absolutely is an act of God. It looks like God himself is doing this. It's one of the greatest light shows in the world. There's no movie that can compare to this. And as the fog lifts and it's cool in the morning, you know it's going to be warmer in the afternoon. You go out on your boat. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. So all I can say is I could see why I stay here. People say to me, well, why do you stay there? The answer is because the liberals didn't invent the weather. You understand what I'm saying? And since I am very self-contained, and I virtually hang around only with my family and my dog and my boat, and if I go on a boat, I don't even want to talk to people. You don't understand it. Most people think that when you go boating, you're supposed to yak your brains out and sit there with a beer and talk. I refuse to talk on a boat. By and large, I don't talk on a boat. I like to go out alone. I don't go out alone because I can't handle it alone all the time. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. A 40-ton boat alone is not a good idea because if you slip and fall down a companionway, you're dead. You know what I'm saying? You're going to kill somebody. So it's not a good idea. But if you go out and you don't talk, it's a wonder to see what's on the waterways. Just the sound of the water slapping against the hull as you're moving through it. Or watching seagulls teach their young how to dive for fish. Or watching pelicans not coated with oil because Obama hasn't put his hands on the bay yet. Or watching seals give birth to birthing their babies and seeing new generations of seals one year after the other at certain secret spots in the Bay Area. Or watching pelicans dive for fish. It's an amazing thing to watch. Fact of the matter is, nature is the greatest drug. I'll be right back.
Savage.
AGIM, thank God it's Monday, and thank God I survived another weekend. I can take 2 days about it. It's about 2 days. By Sunday night, I'm brain dead, starving to be on the radio by Monday. That's why I can never give this up. I'm a lifer. That's all there is to it, so you better get used to it. Most of the people who criticize me are dead or out of the media. I knew it would happen that way, and I'm not finished yet. It's God's hand, not mine. I'm telling you right now, almost everybody who stood in my way in my early career is out of the media or gone from the earth. Somebody up there likes somebody, I can tell you that. Now, remember when Bush had Elton John in the Lincoln bedroom? Do you remember the outcry from the so-called conservatives? Remember when Bush had Elton John in the Lincoln bedroom? He was criticized for that. You wake up and you hear that Rush Limbaugh has Elton John sing at his wedding. You ask, first of all, what judgment does this show? Does he not think his listeners know what's going on and they're that stupid? That they can't put two and two together, that it's all Claribel with a horn, honk, honk, conservative flag. I mean, look at who, you know, who else was there? Wallbanger was there. Of course Wallbanger would be there. Wallbanger began as a fill-in for Limbaugh. Giuliani was there. Well, you'd expect that from Giuliani. I told you he wouldn't sell west of the Rockies. He never did. I have nothing against Rush Limbaugh. I probably would like the man. That's not the point. Why would he hire Elton John to sing at his wedding? It doesn't make sense to me. And I think that it's worthy of discussion. It shows bad judgment, in my opinion. And it's just as crazy as if you woke up and you read that Obama would be appointing Kenneth Starr as Attorney General. Or that you wake up and you read on my website that I'm getting my teeth done by Obama's Kenyan uncle. I'm going to go over there for dental work. Or that Bill Maher would buy drugs from the Aryan Nation because he hears they're better drugs. What if you woke up tomorrow and read that Paul McCartney is getting oral surgery from a Ku Klux Klan dentist in Alabama? Or in San Francisco, you're reading the thing that Nancy Pelosi is buying lasagna from Mussolini's ravioli shop. Or that Rachel Maddow is marrying her partner, and she's going to have George Bush perform the ceremony aboard a ship. You wouldn't believe, would you believe that news? No. All right. Are you not interested in any of this? I sing my heart out. I make up funny stories and jokes. I write parables that take me all day, and you don't care. You know what I'm going to do is just I'm going to play music and go to sleep for an hour and a half now. You know, Buddy gave you all he can give you. Buddy can only give so much. If Buddy doesn't get the applause, if Buddy doesn't get the response he needs, I'm gone. I'm Pau Hunter, man. I'm not going to perform for you if you don't respond to me. What do you think I am, your slave? I'm not your personal slave. You know what I'm saying? I perform, but you got to perform too. You like the show, then you call the show. You like the show, then you do other things to show me you like. Don't sit there like a big putz. That's why you have Obama's president. You think you don't have to do anything. You do have to do something, both as a radio listener and as an American. But because you failed as an American, you're also failing me as a radio listener. That's all. Who am I talking to? There's no one in the room. The dog isn't even here today. The dog isn't even. Even he left. Even he's at the dog sitter. He had enough. What a smart dog I have. Wow. Oh, God. You know, it's like everyone talks about their dog the way people used to talk about children when I was a kid. When I was a kid in the Bronx, all the women were pushing carriages with their babies, and all the other mothers would look in and compare. Look at my baby. Look at this baby. His name is Donald. His name is, this one's name is Rush. No, no one was named Rush in my name. His name is Izzy. That one's name is in. And they all look at the baby, and they would all be nice about the other person's baby. Today, it's sad. You see all the white girls carrying around some, you know, like shrimped up little dog that got mixed up in some breeding experiment. Who ever heard of a miniature like pit bull or whatever? They're like piranha fish. Like, to me, a piranha is like a miniaturized shark. That's like most of the dogs that they have today. They're like purses with fur. The difference is a purse you could put down and go out for the night. It doesn't urinate on your rug. I mean, what is the girls with the... I mean, if you have a maternal instinct, which is bred right into you, get married! And what are you waiting for? You want someone just like your father? Look what it did for your mother. You don't need someone just like your father. You need someone just not like your father. Get anybody. Even marry a liberal. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. Just get married. It doesn't work out. Get a divorce. At least you'll have a child. Don't get a shop su, a shot su, a cockapoo, a schmackapoo, a rockapoo, a dockapoo, a hockapoo, a mockapoo, a lockapoo, a cockapoo, a dockapoo, a schmambapoo, a peekapoo, a lepapoo, a peekaboo. Everything's a mixture with a poodle in it. People say to me, what kind of dog is that? I say he's a poo-poo. He's a pure poodle. You haven't probably ever seen one. Everything's a mixed breed. Not my dog. My dog is the best dog. He's a pure poodle.
Savage.
Can you feel the love tonight? It is where we are.
Any comments on Israel? We're arresting everybody today. Any comments?
Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Remember, these people are occupied. And it's their land. Not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews?
Germany.
So the Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
And Helen should go back to Turkey. She can go to work for Erdogan as his personal blogger. So Hitler and a Girl I covered Friday. I was the first to call for her loss of her press credentials, the last to be credited with it, which is fine. I'm like Lao Tzu. It doesn't matter to me. And I got to remind you of something else. Let's say you hate me and you're in the media. It doesn't matter if you're not in the media. It doesn't matter whether you love me or hate me. As long as you're listening, that's all that matters. But let's say you're in the media and you've worked against me behind my back. I'm going to remind you of something. I'm telling you, there are spiritual forces at play in this world. And everybody who conspired against me in my early years in radio, I had nothing to do with it. They're out of radio, they're out of television, or they're gone from the earth. I outlasted all of them so far. Now, I don't know what that means. Maybe it's pure happenstance, just the fact that I've been around 16 years. I don't really know. But I know this, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just getting warmed up for almost the second phase of my career now. I got to tell you, for the last few years, I've been going through thoughts about leaving radio, bored, burned out, sick of Obama, sick of the communists and the Bilderberg group taking over the media and the government and basically turning the world into their own playground. And I figured it was hopeless. But I'll tell you, something's happened. Both within myself and the world. Something's happening. The Bilderberg schemers are losing control of the global game. The puppet masters are losing control of the marionettes. And the marionettes know who the puppet masters are, and they're scared to death right now. When you see that the Bilderbergs are meeting secretly right now, and many of the same people who brought about the economic collapse by rigging the system are there doing it again. The very people who put Obama in power are there again. You have to understand the danger you're in. Henry Kissinger has been involved for over 50 years. Henry Kissinger goes there and does the German double talk, the German-American double talk, and Dr. Kissinger that, and kiss me and kissing that. And he makes money on the side. Then he tells them that they need his services in order to advise him on this in China, whatever. You wonder who did this to us? You don't have to look any further than Henry Kissinger and half the people at the Bilderbergs. Who do you think put out our manufacturing industry, who destroyed our manufacturing industries? But let's go back to Rush and Elton John, because it's very confusing for most listeners. In that if there was an outcry, which there was, when Bush had Elton John in the Lincoln bedroom, right? You remember that or not? You forgot? What is it? Am I the only one who remembers anything? I'm not supposed to remember that? So when I woke up and I see this, something's wrong. For example, why didn't Rush hire a country and Western singer or an American singer of any kind? Woman, man, country and Western, R&B, rock and roll, you name it. A country and Western, R&B, even a rap singer would have been acceptable. If he hired like 50 Cent, I would have said, all right, I wouldn't have expected it, but I could get it. The guy can do music, right? But he didn't. He hires, first of all, I think Elton John is talentless. He sounds like half the Lushes at a wedding singing in a karaoke machine to me. That's to begin with. Not my style. The kind of, you know, overly gushy, like childhood sweetheart stuff. But all right, to each his own. But why Rush Limbaugh, the icon of the conservative movement, so to speak? It's impossible to believe that he would have made such a mistake as this. That's all. And that's all I'm not going to say anymore. I just want to embed it in your consciousness so that you don't forget it. So you understand, I want you to understand something. Here's what I'm doing this for. I'm not going to personally gain audience from this or lose audience from this. He's not going to lose any audience because most of the audiences for these shows are set in stone already. You know, the Rush bots would take no criticism, just as the Savage bots won't take any criticism about me. Whatever happens to me, you'll justify. And I understand that. That's fine. That's loyalty. That's good. But I want you to understand that a lot of what you hear in the media is entertainment, both from the left and the right. They don't mean a word of what they're saying. They're doing it strictly for the money. I've got to tell you that. And I don't. I'm telling you I don't. I can prove it in one way. I never do personal appearances. Do you know how often Wallbanger is on the road? Do you know how often Zelig is on the road doing another, like, Save America tour? You know, come see me in Yankee Stadium at $25 a head. There's still time to see the miracle happening of me there with a blackboard and a dunce cap. Are you kidding me? You must be joking. And holding up a Nazi book and saying it's good reading, and no one sees what he did, Zelig, with the Nazi book from the woman, the hero Well, anyway, you get the picture. You've got to try to, you know, read between the lines so you're not misled. I think part of the problem we're having in the country today is that people are so deceived by conservatives who are not conservative and by liberals who are not liberal. You know, with me, I told you this on Friday. Many of you weren't listening. You were busy, you know, with a regular life. It's easy to listen to someone you agree with, and it's easy to be deceived by people who don't offend you. But you're better off listening to a man who you may find offensive in his ideas and his commentary, if you believe he tells you what he really believes. Because with a man who tells you what he actually believes, meaning the truth, let's put it another way. The word truth has almost no meaning in America, so I had to say a man who says what he really believes, because then you might understand what I'm saying. But if you listen to a man who actually says what he actually believes, even if you disagree with what he believes, you can argue with him because you have a firm idea of who he is and where he's coming from. And you ought to thank God that there are men around who actually say what they believe, as opposed to people who don't ever tell you what they actually believe. So that's why I'm doing this. Be careful. Carl, New York, WOR, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
I am a soldier for Savage, and that was brilliant what you said. Rahm Emanuel hiring Jackie Mason to play at his son's bar mitzvah was brilliant.
No, Rahm Emanuel buying bullets from a neo-Nazi reloader in Montana.
What was the line about Jackie Mason?
Yeah, Helen Thomas hiring Jackie Mason to perform at her great-granddaughter's bat mitzvah.
How can I buy that whole dialogue?
How? You can buy it for nothing by listening to this show. You want me to do it again?
I listen to you all the time. I listen every day.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. Beowulf, download that whole riff I just did on Rush Limbaugh hiring Elton John to sing at his wedding is the equivalent of, and I did a whole list of things, ending with Robert Byrd requesting as well that Clarence Thomas be a pallbearer's funeral. Helen Thomas hiring Jackie Mason performing at Great Bunners Bar Mitzvah. I'll MP3 it and put it on michaelsavage.com so you can get it tonight.
Excellent. Now listen.
Yeah.
You could, if you wanted to, do stand-up and make much more money than these other clowns.
I don't want to do stand-up. Of course I could, but I'm doing a show now in pajamas in one of my home studios. What do I want to go stand up in a nightclub with Klieg lights in my eyes and smell people's perfume? Who needs that? I don't need the money. Who needs the adulation? I don't need the adulation either. This way, between breaks, I can go up into the kitchen and get a seltzer water. I can get a watermelon, whatever I need. What do I need to be on a stage for, like a dunce?
Yeah, but your fans
are... Yeah, the stage is a low-class place. It's for prostitutes. The Romans had it right. The Romans used to think that any actress was a prostitute. They probably weren't wrong when you think about it. What is an actor? An actor's a puppet. I'm no. I don't want to be anybody's puppet.
In other words,
if part of my performance as a political commentator on the Savage Nation starts to be humorous or funny or whatever, that's great. That's the mood I'm in. You follow me?
Yeah, yeah.
But do you know how hard it is to get up on the stage and, let's say, I'm going to be funny tonight to 10,000 people? Like, every time you get up, you have to be funny one line after the other. It's impossible to do unless you take drugs or you have comedy writers. You follow me?
Oh, sure. Now, listen, Mike, I spent my whole life on stage. I was a vocalist all my life performing.
Oh, I'm sorry to have insulted you. I didn't mean to.
You didn't insult me because I know most of it, believe it or not, is all BS anyway. People hear with their eyes.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about being on the stage. It's an interesting thought. People have asked me, Savage, why don't you go on a 10-city tour? You could sell out 10 stadiums around the country. You could sell out Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, somewhere in Texas, Chicago, New York City, Boston, and like probably North Carolina. I might even be able to sell out a stadium in Cuba, probably Guantanamo. I could fill the house in Guantanamo. But I don't want to do such a tour. It's too exhausting.
Well, the exhausted, you're 100% right, but imagine going on stage in pajamas. That'd be great.
Oh, that's a funny act, man. No one's done that. You shouldn't have said it because I can guarantee I know someone who's going to do it. Who's going to copy that idea immediately? Well, who's the most desperate Dumbo in conservative news?
There's a whole lot.
Come on. It's the guy with the blackboard who never went to college who wants everyone to think he's a professor.
Well, you see, the problem with that, Mike, is I've been blind for 12 years, so...
Blind? What do you mean, actually blind?
Actually blind, yeah.
Oh, you're the blind guy?
Yeah, you're not blind.
Wait, you're not the blind guy, the opera singer, are you?
No, I'm not at all. The only thing in common vocally is that I can't see.
Carl, what happened to your... how'd you lose your vision? Because I'm losing mine. How'd you lose yours?
Now, I'm glad you asked that, because I didn't pay attention to my diabetes.
Oh, my God. Blind. Well, I don't have diabetes. I that's not my issue. I am getting blurry vision for years now from overuse of the computer and writing books. And it's starting to be a problem for me, truthfully. And I do say, you know, God gave you a gift called vision. Go ahead and waste it on a computer another second. Go ahead. Go stare at that schmuck screen and look at Helen Thomas's nose for another hour and see what you wind up with tomorrow morning.
Mike?
Go look at Obama's ears twitching like Pinocchio. And see, is that what God gave you eyes for? So I balance it. I balance it. Carl, did you hear my riff on the fog lifting in San Francisco Bay earlier?
Yes, sir.
Okay, did I create a pictorial image for you that you could understand?
Mike, some of your stories give me great vision because I had sights and I can see. When you even tell me about your childhood and growing up, I see it.
Well, let me give you an image. I speak pictorially. I speak in a pictorial tongue. It's very, very Asian what I do, incidentally. It's very interesting. Not everyone understands the art of pictorial language. My language is quite pictorial. In other words, if it was transferred into... My words are transferred into images in your head when you listen to me, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll give you an... I try to do it without... I don't even think about it, but that's how I've been all my life. I was trained to speak this way as a child. In order to communicate rapidly with people, you have to paint a picture for them with your words. You understand that, right?
Yes.
Otherwise, you start to sound like a president speaking in gibberish about nothing. Obama doesn't even speak pictorially. He gives crap. All he does is dish out garbage to the idiots. All you got to do is see one bird coated with tar to know that Obama's incompetent, correct?
Without a doubt.
see one pelican struggling to rise up out of the gulf and can't fly, you know that Obama's an incompetent or worse. Correct? All you're going to do is see that 1,000 soldiers have now been whacked in Afghanistan, and nobody knows why they're there, to understand that there's no difference between Obama and Bush with regard to the New World Order.
No difference at all.
Now, I'm going to give you a nice image. Here's a nice image. It's June, right? We're in June. You're in New York. Are you in New York?
Yeah,
is it
I'm
a hot day? Is it a hot day out there?
It's not bad. Today it cooled off.
All right. Now, I want you to picture a hot day in Manhattan. Like an August day in Manhattan. You got that in your head?
Yep.
Do you remember what it was like at the pavement? Your feet, your shoes stuck to it?
Oh, you could see the heat rising from the concrete.
All right. I'm going to take you back now. I want you to remember I'm going to have an image for you. The young Savage at his father's store on Ludlow Street in Manhattan on one of the hot blistering days, going to the corner candy store for a bottle of Coca-Cola, which at that time Coca-Cola was in glass bottles. Remember the glass bottles?
I know that. I'm old enough to remember that.
All right, so now I'm wearing an undershirt, a polo shirt. The child Savage is reaching into an ice box, and the ice is half melted in his ice water, and his arm is up to his armpit, fishing for a soda. Does that create images for you?
It sure does.
But how many people remember an icebox? Even nobody. It's like I was like born in another century. It almost seems like I was born in another century. I mean, I've transcended centuries. I've transcended cultures. I've transcended immigration patterns. I've transcended a lot of things in my lifetime.
Well, I got to tell you one thing.
I like the word transcend. It's better than transsexual or transformational. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm a liberal. I was born a liberal. I'll be one till I die. What else should a reporter be when you see so much and we have such great privilege and access to the truth?
She and I also had a common birthday wish. She said she hopes for a real health care reform bill. I will leave it up to you, Helen, how you want to distribute the cupcakes.
That's the genius, distinguished White House press corps singing happy birthday to Helen Thomas. I understand that Iran has offered Helen Thomas a new gig. No, that would be a shocking headline, wouldn't it, if you read it tomorrow? Iran offers Helen Thomas gig. Same to me as reading Rush hires Elton John to sing at wedding, and that's why I'm covering that. What do you mean? She has the privilege to see what's going on in the world, so she's a liberal? Hello? What, are you insane? Yes. She's called a White House press reporter, well, until yesterday or whatever. That's like Nancy Pelosi before the health care bill, right after she beat it into law. She got up and said, this is going to save money. This is going to create 4 million jobs, boys and girls, including 400,000 jobs immediately, said Nancy Pelosi. Well, we found out most of the jobs that have been created so far are hourly census workers and very few jobs in the private sector. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is a liar. Probably the biggest liar on the planet. It's hard to believe that these people get away with it day in and day out. Day in and day out. And that's because there are no consequences to being a liar when you're a politician. You got to understand what I'm saying to you here. I toe the line. I walk a very, very difficult line here. If I lie to you and I get caught lying, I'm out of business, Johnson. Listen to me. You may not like what I say, but I don't lie to you. You catch me lying, I'm out of business. You catch Obama lying, he goes to an Elton John a concert the next night with Paul McCartney, the big environmentalist. You catch Nancy Pelosi lying, she's on the next plane to wherever she's going, an Air Force jet. It doesn't matter. But why is there no outcry over Rush Limbaugh hiring Elton John? It's a story. It's a story. It's a bigger story. It's as big a story as Hitler in a girdle in its own way. The reason is because Helen Thomas was exposed as being a bigot. That's a story. Don't you understand what the news is? Remember the old story of what news is if you were a youngster and wanted to be a journalist? I never wanted to be a journalist. I really didn't have. and his mother took Quaaludes or something. He became a journalist. All right, he couldn't help it. IR couldn't help that. It's from the mother's use of Quaaludes. The father smoked too much. See, he actually aspired to be a journalist. But he told me that when he went to work for a paper, they said to him, remember, it's the man, you know, man bites dog bites man story. If a dog bites a man, it's not a story. But if a man bites a dog, it is a story. But in our age, there are so many man bites dog stories that you don't know what a story is anymore. With the advent of Jerry Springer and then Nancy Grace, there's almost no balance left in the media at all. And so we have a person like Helen Thomas. She's about as imbalanced as Nancy Grace. About the same mentality. But Rush, who wraps himself in family values. Look, let me put it to you another way. Well, I said enough. That's all. Linda, New York City, WR, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, it came to me. This is very weird about Rush picking Elton John, but I think it's because he's trying to please his very young wife-to-be. She probably wanted him.
All right, so it's another Arnold Schwarzenegger, Maria Schreiber wedding, marriage.
Of course.
So he married a stark left-wing liberal a wife who's now going to change the man's policies on the radio.
Not a liberal, but just maybe she likes Elton John.
Maybe so, she's a liberal. Maybe the Bilderberg sent her to marry Rush Limbaugh. I'm joking. Come on. I'm just. Maybe the Bilderberg group selected her to marry Rush Limbaugh in order to convert him into a liberal.
I
think the audience in this country, the audiences are so stupid that if Rush Limbaugh got on the air in 2 weeks and said, I am a liberal, they'd still listen to him. How do you like that?
I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird.
Yeah, weird. It's weird. 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 All right, I said enough. Next hour is another story, and a story inside the story, right here in the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The longtime White House reporter Helen Thomas has just announced she's retiring.
Helen Thomas has broken down many barriers for women. Should that count for something?
The end of Helen Thomas's career at the White House.
She is retiring, effective immediately.
She clearly was a trailblazer for women covering the White House.
Her career, which was long and distinguished.
The longtime reporter just announced
not as long and as distinguished as your nose.
Spot, as a longtime Helen Thomas.
She broke down
turn it off already. I can't take this. Yeah, Eva Braun was a trailblazer too, I guess, according to these psychos. Yeah, trailblazer. That's all. Hitler in a girdle is gone. That's all. On Friday, when the story broke, I ran the tape, and I said certain things which were needed to be said, and I want to play some of them for you so the record is straight. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to enter this into the record, please. What I'm about to play for you is going to be entered into the record on the Radio Hall of Fame record, the real one, not the fake one from the industry. Because here's what I said in clip 9 on Friday.
If we had a legitimate press corps, which we don't, Helen Thomas's press credentials would be stripped immediately. Could you imagine if a white reporter said that African Americans should go home and someone said to the white reporter, no matter how old he was, well, where is home? And he says, Africa. And then the reporter shockingly says, where is their home? Africa. Why, the African Americans don't belong here. This isn't their home. They should go home to Africa. Do you think that that reporter would be allowed in the White House press corps the next second? You know that they wouldn't. then why is this Nazi witch?
All right, let's stop it. So you got what I said Friday, right? Now there's more. There's more. Listen to clip 11.
And now we have Helen Thomas. Jews should go back to Germany and Poland. Now, this woman is not just an ordinary crackpot working for the Kansas City Star in the obit department. This woman has White House press credentials. I state she should have her press credentials torn away from her right this minute. She is entitled to her opinion. That is true. She is not entitled to be a member of the White House press corps. That is also true.
You see, I didn't say she should be fired, nor did I say she should lose her job for the Hearst newspapers. I expect nothing less from the Hearst newspapers than a biased psycho. But she has no right to be as a member of the White House press corps. And I'm glad to see that she's... I wish that they just took away her credentials, because then she could have gone on to a stellar career. Let's say she could have gone to Turkey as Erdogan's personal blogger. Or perhaps she could have continued to work in some capacity as a trailblazer, perhaps even going to Iran to write Ahmadinejad's biography. Or if not that, perhaps she could have gone to Venezuela to report on the achievements of the Fourth Reich in South America. Then we talk about, remember when Bush had Elton John in the Lincoln bedroom, the outcry? Remember? Oh, Lincoln bedroom, the sacred Lincoln bedroom, the same place Bill Clinton soiled the sheets over and over again. All of a sudden, there's a sacred Lincoln bedroom was soiled by Elton John. Why? You know why. So now you're Mr. Conservative icon Rush Limbaugh has Elton John singing for him at his wedding, and there's no outcry. I may be the only one left in the media who understands things. I'm sorry, I have nothing against Rush. I don't know the man. I don't know the man one way or the other. We never met. I kid him. I call him the golfer. He could care less. But to me, it's the way it is. That's all. That's what I do. That's my nature. That's part of my nature. Let's put it to you that way. Part of my nature. There's another part to my nature that's rarely seen, but it's not your business. Like right now, like, do you really care that right now I'm suffering from like an itch? Would you really care to know why I'm suffering today? It's almost a biblical skin itch. Came up out of nowhere last night. I don't know why. I don't know why. Already, the first thing I do is I couldn't sleep all night. The scalp itch, the eyeballs itch, the ear. Did you ever get one of those? The nostrils itch, the ear itches, the in between, underneath, the all night itch, the whole night. I don't understand it. And I was like all night long, tormented by an itch. So the first thing I do is I look into the foods I ate. I ate almost nothing last night. I was on my boat all day. We pulled up, and it is true now. I'm trying to backtrack. There could be a food-related issue, or it could have been a mild spider bite. I don't know. I pulled my boat in to a restaurant in Jack London Square. It was really a beautiful, difficult maneuver. I was very proud of myself. Truthfully, I'm very skilled. I impressed myself with it. Because I pulled up to a dock near a restaurant. It was a difficult right-left maneuver in a wind. Tied it up and went inside. And we ordered food at the house. I ordered a crab sandwich. I never eat crab. I don't like crab. Crab, cancer, the whole thing. I'm not a crab eater. The whole symbol. I don't like people who are cancers as a symbol. Sorry if you are. I never get along with cancers in the zodiac, number one. But the crab, it's under the water. It's got all those legs. It lays in the mud like a liberal and waits for something to swim by and grabs it and eats it. There's just something about the animal itself I don't like. I'm itching just saying it. It could have been the crab salad sandwich. That's number one. I never would have eaten it. But the only other thing I had to go was a hamburger for $17, which I got for someone on the boat. And then I got me a crab job. But I didn't itch from it. That night, get home. 6 hours later, after the whole washdown, itch, itch, itch. What is this? Like, feeling of, like, bloating and gas. It could have been food. But I don't know. Now I see a little mark on my hands, like the mark of Cain. It could have been a little, like, spider bite. I'm itching as I talk to you. It's going to drive me crazy. The minute I get off the air, I'm rushing to a pharmacy to get a Benadryl. That doesn't make sense. I've tried lots of big doses of ascorbic acid. That's vitamin C to you guys. And it really didn't do anything. I ate nothing for lunch, which to me is a tragedy. To miss one lunch of either a terrible Chinese meal or a horrible Japanese meal or a disgusting Thai meal is like a loss. It's like a day out of my life. I mean, it's eons waiting ahead for me in the tomb that I should miss a good meal. But all right, I had to miss it for this because I didn't want the skin condition to get worse. Hey, did you see the pictures that were posted?
of the gladiator's tomb they found in England. Amazing skeletons those guys had. Yeah, they found a whole tomb in England, and they figured they were gladiators by the size of their bones in their arms and the. No, really, and the axe marks and bites in their skull from animals. They put them in the arena with bears and tigers. Boy, those Romans were monsters. Crazy. 1-800-449-8255. What do you want to talk about? You want to cry your heart out over pelicans with oil in their face? While the Gulf riddles. The ghost shot. He did it. At this point, he owns it. He destroyed the Gulf by not bringing in the military, which he could have done immediately, or at least give the people in Louisiana the right to build the berms, which he wouldn't do. They want it to go. They can take over the oil industry. That's what's starting to become apparent to everyone with a brain. It's unbelievable to me how no one sees this but you. Ahmadinejad to visit China. That's a nice story. Your good little friends over there. Go ahead. He's going to visit China. Hitler's going to China. What's he going to buy there? What's Hitler going to get out of China? Boy, is Israel in trouble. My God, they played every card wrong. I mean, put aside the fact whether you're on the side of Israel surviving or not, they are so backed into a corner that no matter which way you spin it, you lose. Let's say you hate Israel, which you shouldn't, but let's say you do. You schmuck you. You back a country into a corner where there's no way out and they have nuclear weapons. What the hell do you think they're going to do, you stupid idiot, anti-Semitic morons on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, liberal scum that you are? Don't get me started. I'll start breaking things in this room, with or without the itch. Go ahead, back them in a corner. Tell them they have no right to exist, the survivors of the Holocaust. Go ahead, tell the children of the survivors of the Holocaust they have no right to exist. Go ahead, push them in a corner, you stupid bastards, you. What the hell do you think is going to happen, you psychopaths, you left-wing scum? 99% of you are liberals. I know that. Most of the people who hate Israel are either Nazis or liberals, or both. But go ahead. What do you think is going to come of this? You think they're going to walk out of Israel because you want them to go, you son of a... Go ahead. Why don't you give up some land, all your big mouths? You live there in Los Angeles. Why don't you give your land back to the Aztecs? Give it back to your Aztec gardener, you lying bums, you. You raise money for Obama, you can't even see. So what do you want to do? So you hate Israel, you think it's going to go away because you hate Israel? You backed them into a corner, what do you want them to do? They're not disappearing. They're not disappearing because you want the Philistines to take over their land. It ain't going to happen. All they're going to wind up doing is they're going to be backed in a corner, they're going to launch a couple of tactical nuclear weapons at their enemies. And then what do you think's going to happen? You're going to have a world war. So shut your, boy, you cause a war, you liberal psychos. You don't even think about what you're doing here. Chicago, Andy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead.
Michael, I'd take a bullet for you, but when you suffer, when you have diarrhea, when you itch, when you have illnesses, you want to talk about painting a picture. I laugh so hard in the car when you suffer, and I'm sorry to say that. Cause I'm
now you're making me, I never talk about diarrhea. I never had it in my life. I just talked about a skin condition. That's a little different. Come on now. It's a family show.
I'm sorry. But you do. When you suffer, though, that is when I am laughing my hardest. I'm sorry, and I love
well,
you.
I psychologically, I could tell you why psychologically people like that. Because your life is so horrible and so miserable that when you hear a guy in the media who has everything, really, who's miserable just like you, it actually makes you feel better.
Because you know all about medicine, and you still admit you suffer.
That's right. You know, no, that's right. I know all about the alternative cures, and there's nothing that's going to work but Benadryl.
But I'll tell you.
Well, I accept the fact that modern medicine can be a miracle. I use it as a medicine of last resort. In other words, I've never been hypocritical about this. I wrote about it 30 years ago, which is complementary medicine is complementary medicine. It complements Western medicine. But when all else fails, you use Western medicine. The problem is most of us don't know that, and they use the antibiotic or the tranquilizer first instead of last. You follow me?
Right.
But keep laughing. I'll come up with another suffering for you soon. I'll give you some real tragedy maybe. You'll have a really good day. Now the lips are itching. No, this is horrible. I'm telling you, inside the eyeball, it's terrible. I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't mind the skin itch. I've lived with that all my life. Every time I turn the television on, and I used to see Helen Thomas, my left arm would break out. If I'd see Nancy Grace, my right arm would start to break out. If I turn on MSNBC, my legs would literally, I'd get like leprosy spots on my legs. I'll be right back.
Savage.
you're not interested in Rush Limbaugh hiring Elton John. You're not interested in the fact that I was the first to call for Helen Thomas to lose her credentials. You're not interested in any. All right. Whatever. Hitler in a girdle is gone and Rush is gone on a trip. So you don't know what you're going to wake up to tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day. You don't know what you're going to wake up to the way the news is. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. And I agree with you. It's a crazy world. Here you have a left-wing fanatic as a president, an unknown president from backgrounds unknown, completely unknown 3 years ago, raised money from suspicious sources. Now he's the leader of the free world. Supposedly he's more sensitive to everything than Bush was because he's not a white man. Let's put it to you that way. Be very blunt. Many people are racist that way. They assume all white males want to poison the oceans, pollute the air, and kill fish. And so they elect a guy like this who has no history whatsoever of ever having done anything to preserve one iota of the environment. And here we have the greatest ecological disaster in American history. He does nothing now for over a month, 5-6 weeks, and there's no outcry to speak of. Pelicans with oil all over them, beaches decimated forever, or 50 years, God knows how long it's going to take. And nothing, absolutely nothing. No response. Because the left is either filled with druggies or liars or psychos or a combination of all three. All you got to do is watch Bill Maher to understand what you're watching. Okay, I said enough for the day. Pat in New York, WR, it's your turn. Go ahead, please.
Yes, a comment. I think of Obama as a stranger in a strange land. He looks like he doesn't belong here. I think of a common...
Well, what do you mean, doesn't belong here? What do you mean, physically doesn't belong here?
Well, physically, yeah. It looks like he seems to me like he's a stranger, like he's trying to fit in, but he doesn't quite do it.
Well, no, hold on. No, you don't mean that in a racial manner, of course.
No. I mean with his suits, you know, dressed
up. You're saying he's uncomfortable in the role of president? Is that what you're getting at?
Yes, but he's also uncomfortable in the role as...
The itch got worse. I'm sorry. Went up 30% from that. I'm going to use the itch meter now. The face turned red from the call. I know I broke out in the rash. It went from an itch to a rash now on my face from that call. I don't know what it is. The ears are on fire. They have to tolerate it. I can't wait till the show's over to get the pill. I got to rush out and buy the Benadryl. My eyeballs are itching. This could be a hospitalization. I don't know what this is. I think it's the news. I don't know. Then I watched two movies now that I think about it. It may not have been the crab after the boat ride. I also watched some very violent movies last night, and I think that could have provoked an anxiety attack. I'll give you an example. You don't realize the effects on a person. If you're not, let's say an ordinary guy who feels nothing, like a schmendrick who watches baseball and schlubs down a beer and he's happy. If you're not an ordinary guy like that, and let's say you have sensibilities beyond the ordinary, where a golf ball isn't, let's say, the zenith of your existence, that if your wife could buy you something other than a golf bag and a golf club, let's say you're beyond that, or in another. So I watched a movie last night. It was about the IRA set in the year 1980. I don't know the name of it. It was actually quite good, where that guy from Sir Ben Kingsley, I don't like the Sir part, Ben Kingsley with the big schnoz, he plays a British military officer undercover who coaches a con man to go into the IRA and disrupt their activities. It was so violent. The movie was so pictographically violent, like when the IRA intelligence chief gets a hold of this guy or someone else, they got him naked in a chair and they're hitting him with the claw of a hammer, pulling flesh out of his feet to get him to confess. I'm watching this. I guess this has an effect on a person, right? Right or wrong. And I think about mankind's inhumanity to man. This is not a racial thing. Remember the IRA and the Brits, they're the same race. Do you understand that this was a religious war? And yet what man will do to man in the name of religion or in the name of territory? And it didn't end yet.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I am proud to report that my assistant went and got me Benadryl, and I've taken it in the last 3 minutes. I do the Benadryl capsules without the red dye number 4 in them.
Everything you got to watch. It's like when I was a kid, I used to eat those cherries, those maraschino cherries, by the jarful, till I read they caused cancer. By that token, I should have been dead when I was 11 from the number of cherries I used to eat in a jar. It's the amount, but anyway. So we're talking about the world affairs, what's wrong, what's right. The notes for the Savage Nation were terrific, but you didn't hear any of it. I'm not going to repeat it. Hitler in a girdle is gone, that's all. Limbaugh's flying off on a wedding. If that lasts 2 years and the estate's not in her hands within three, I'll eat my pajamas. Albany, New York. RJ, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. I'll ask my question, hang up, and listen to your answer. The question I have is, why are so many conservatives opposed to the concept of world government?
That is a very fair question. I would hope you'd stay on the line because I think I have an answer for you.
And I will stay on the line.
All right. Let's start with two simple things. The Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution. Does that work for you?
Please elaborate.
Well, I mean, isn't that enough of an answer? I can certainly elaborate in a whole book, but a world government would not give us the rights that we have here in the United States of America. We in the United States of America enjoy freedoms that they don't enjoy in the European Union. You know that.
Correct. Is there not a way that the freedoms granted to us through our Constitution would not be adapted globally?
Why would they be adapted globally when you have such monsters trying to create a world government, people who don't even believe in personal freedoms? I mean, I'm going to read for you the names of some of the people meeting at the Bilderberg Group right now. Some of them are probably respectable in the sense that you probably would not fear them. But let's start with one of them. Let's start with Henry Kissinger. Do you think that he has the best interests of humanity at heart?
Henry Kissinger is perhaps one of the greatest proponents of a free humanity.
Are you kidding me? The man has capitalized on trade with China. He is probably single-handedly responsible for the demise of our manufacturing industry. He's responsible for NAFTA. He's responsible for CAFTA. He's responsible for shipping millions of jobs out of America. How can you say that?
Well, Henry Kissinger has also been a big part of working with David Rockefeller. I know that.
Yes, and David Rockefeller is a man you would trust to be a New World Order leader of the world, and you would think that the Rockefeller family has ever cared about the interests of the individual?
Isn't the Rockefeller family one of the greatest American families of all time as far as industrialists go?
No, not at all. Some would argue that they're the opposite of that. Some would argue that the Rockefellers were not very good for the average worker, like the thousands of workers who were shot when they rioted against Rockefeller companies. Way back in the beginning. So let's put it aside. I'm going to read a few other names. Here's some other people meeting at the Bilderberg Group. Robert Rubin. Do you know who he is?
I've heard the name.
Co-chairman, Council on Foreign Relations, former Secretary of the Treasury, and former president of Citibank. He's one of the engineers of the financial meltdown of America. Why would you trust him to put the interests of the people ahead of his own greed?
Back up a second. It's the Council of Foreign Relations. That was an organization established in the 50s.
But you didn't hear me when I just said Robert Rubin. You're jumping to the CFR. I just said Robert Rubin had been the head of Citibank when it melted down. Doesn't that concern you?
Oh, very much so. It should concern
everyone. I'm sure you and I, even though you're a liberal and you're in the faith, doesn't mean that we have to disagree on everything. Now, why would the Bilderbergs invite a guy like Charlie Rose to the Bilderberg meeting? Why would he be selected?
I can't answer that.
Because they select people who are their puppets or who will act out exactly what they want acted out on the American stage of the media and the government. Let's take another one. Robert Zoellick, president of the World Bank Group. Do you know who he is?
Scumbag.
Well, I didn't say that. I don't use those words. And I have a certain respect for prophylactics.
Hey, do you know Dr. Savage?
At least I can get a laugh out of you.
You know why the condom flew across? Yeah,
I think he just called to pull my leg. William Gates, co-chair of the Microsoft Corporation. Nothing wrong with him being there. But then you read that the president and CEO of Google is there. What the hell is the president of Google doing at the Bilderbergs? Because they're part of the New World Order. Because Google is very much a part of the invasion of privacy, the demise of individual liberty, and the taking over of the entire world. Period. Do you think people get that far in life by accident? I know some people who've gotten pretty far in life and made a lot of money on their brains, on their inventions, on their creativity. Yes, it is true, without the help of of the puppeteers. I know that for a fact. But I do know that beyond a certain level of political power, it is impossible to get anywhere unless you are anointed and selected in secret meetings such as this, whether it be the Skull and Bones at Yale or the Bilderberg Group or the other groups that you know. The others were created by the Rockefellers. And, you know, I realize this is information that is beyond the average person, and it's part of the right-wing conspiracy talk. Nevertheless, a lot of it's true. That's all. You know, don't get me started about those anointed in the conservative media either, because many of them got where they are because they are exactly what the conservatives, what the New World Order wants. Or let's put the establishment, let's call it the establishment, to make it less threatening. The reason some people have risen so high as so-called conservative commentators is because the established order wants their opinions put out there. They're mild by comparison to the reality of what we're living through, okay? Another member of the Bilderberg Group today, a meeting, is Peter D. Sutherland, chairman of Goldman Sachs International. That doesn't bother you? One of the engineers of the economic collapse of the United States of America? Do you think that there are people in the media at very high levels who got there strictly on the basis of their abilities? I could tell you that I don't believe so. I can tell you right now I don't believe so. The only person I know who got there by his abilities is me. I have absolutely no contacts in the government. I am never invited to a meeting in the government. I've never had... let me give you an example. You remember when Bush was president? Remember he invited radio talk show hosts to the White House? Was I invited? No. I have the third largest radio talk show in America then, and I still have it right now. And remember, I start late in the day. I'm on smaller stations in many markets. I'm run by a great independent syndicator who is not connected to the mainstream media. I wasn't invited, but there were people below me who were invited, along with Hannity and, with Rush and Wallbanger. So why? Why would Bush invite the golfer and the Wallbanger? Because they basically were bootlickers. They carried his water. I wasn't invited because I criticized the president at that time. I said, watch out, the signs are bad. He's building up too much debt. Wait a minute, look at this. Don't you remember, how many people can raise their hands in this audience? You know, now this is like a live show. If I had 10,000 people and I said this with a booming microphone, how many of you remember me saying to you 2 years into Bush's administration, look out, he's bankrupting the country? I'd get 98% of the people would raise their hands. And how many of you remember that a year before Bush was finished, I said, look what he's doing. Look at the bills he's passed. No Child Left Behind, prescription drugs for the elderly. I said, this is no different than Hillary care, about 50% of Hillary care, right? You'd raise your hands again. Then, in September of the last year of his reign, September of 08, I believe, pretty sure that, yeah, I saw some strange and dangerous things going on. And I said, he's not through yet. He's finale in the last 3 months of his administration. And lo and behold, he engineered the economic meltdown, the financial collapse with Wall Street, in order to usher in who? Barack Hussein Obama. They wanted Obama to win. The Republicans wanted Obama to win. I've said that to you. Why do I say it to you over and over again? Well, I'm not going to give too much of it away, because it's all in my new book, which is at the publisher right now. It's coming out in October. It'll be the biggest book of the time, I can guarantee you. It's going to be a very important book. And I'm not here to sell you a book, but I'm here to tell you that the reason the Republicans wanted to lose, and the reason they selected a loser like McCain who would guarantee lose, and even he almost won until he shot himself in the toe every time he opened his mouth. He could have won because Obama was so unappealing as a candidate to most of America. Obama was so frightening to most Americans once they understood his odd background, his left-wing leanings, his associations with known terrorists, the Reverend Wright. Any one of those stories would have brought Obama down if only McCain had wanted to exploit it. But McCain's handlers didn't want him to exploit it. They told him to play it down, not up. Why? Because the Republicans had raped the Treasury for 8 straight years, and they knew that they didn't want the hot seat in the next in the next election. They knew a Democrat had to win. Now, whether it was Obama or Hillary, I'm not so sure whether they cared, but they knew it was time to throw the ball to the other gang of crooks. They wouldn't have cared if it was Hillary. They probably would have preferred it because she would have been a more reliable partner in the scheme, right?
But, okay, whatever. Now all you hear is, oh, bring back the Republicans, and I guarantee you we'll get rid of those tax and spend liberals when we come back, and we're going to lower the government. We're going to take the bloat out of the government. We're going to lower your taxes, step right up, this way to the egress. Get a Republican, here's a Republican, good old Republican. Come on, Republican, come on, put down the flag. Put down the conservative flag. Come on, here's a Republican. Here's a Republican. There's a Republican. Blah, blah, blah. Then, to top it all off, McCain has one thing going for him. Experience. Right? So how does he destroy his one calling card? He picks an inexperienced, unknown governor of Alaska who makes one gaffe after another. Sarah Palin. And everyone gasps. What? He couldn't have picked an admiral, a retired admiral? He couldn't have picked a retired general from who distinguished himself in Iraq. That would have put him over the top, but they didn't. Why did the puppet masters push Romney out of the way and have McCain win? Why did they push Romney away and push McCain in? Because they were afraid Romney might win by sheer accident. Good looking, he has a business background, more appealing, all-American family. Yes, quite liberal. He pushed forward a health care plan almost identical to that which Obama has. We all know this. But he would have won handily without almost a fight. And then strangely, don't you remember what happened at some tumultuous backroom dealings somewhere along the campaign trail? Romney was pushed out and McCain was pushed in, and everyone said, what? McCain? Impossible. Again, new world order, way it's played. You know, you want the Democrats in for 8 years, then the 4 years of... I can guarantee you as I stand here that your expectations are false if you think Obama's going away after 4 years. That is not the way the establishment has the game rigged. It's like going to Las Vegas and thinking you can beat them at cards or you can beat them on a slot machine. That machine is wired to produce a certain number of wins per roll, per certain number of rolls. And the way this political machine is rigged is you got 8 years Repub, 8 years Dem. I don't care who that Dem is. I don't care how bad he is. He's going to win again. And the reason he's going to win again is because the Republicans are going to make sure he does. You don't know this. I don't care what happens in October. I don't care how many Tea Parties there are and how many people get knocked out of the box. I can guarantee you they're going to do something to have this guy win again, as sure as I'm standing here. At least I would bet on that. I bet 90% he wins again. And that's because I've seen not one Republican candidate come forward who's electable. There is not one Republican candidate who could be president. Sarah Palin can't win. She dismissed herself simply by taking a job with Fox News and becoming a commentator and an all-around money earner. No one's electing her. That's it. They run her. It's over. It's Obama in 2012. I'll bet on that one. If I were, what's his name? Nick the Greek. Remember, he used to be around, whatever his name was. And I'm not disparaging Greeks. There was a big odds guy. No one remembers some of these references. They're very obscure. Was it Nicky the Greek? Nick the Greek? I don't know. Jimmy the Greek. Don't say Jimmy because we'll get the guy from WR with communism. I don't. Please. I had a dog named Nicky. My favorite dog was named Nicky. Wonderful little dog. A Yorkshire Terrier killed by a frog. Heartbreaking. Went away once for a week. Left him with me. Came back dead. Buried in the ground. Bit a little frog. Poisonous. Like me with the spider. I don't know. So where was I? So I'm going from the political to the personal, which is, look, this is a long-haul business I'm in. I'm like a long-haul ice trucker, man. I'm in this one for the next whatever God gives me. Forever is not on the books, okay? I know it awaits. I'm not missing one meal. With the skin, no, without the skin, I'm not missing a meal tonight. I took the Benadryl. I'm still going to have a beer, and I'm still going to have a meal. All right, I'll avoid the shrimp and the crab, but I'm going out to dinner. Because it's a long time down there, I got to tell you. And so far as I know, they don't serve Chinese food in the next world. As far as I know, they don't even serve Italian food there. As a matter of fact, you can't even get a taco in the next world. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right. It's the Savage Nation. Any topic is fair game. Sacramento, Joseph, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
I don't really think it's fair for you to blame Obama for this oil spill.
Well, why did you blame Bush for Katrina?
Well, I didn't blame him all that much either, but in a way,
why did Spike Lee make a movie saying that white people blew up the levees to flood it to kill black people? Was that fair?
No, I don't think he wanted to kill black people.
Well, but the reason that Obama is responsible for the Gulf mess is that for 38 days he's done nothing. He's dragged his heels. Louisiana's been begging for the permits to build sand berms to prevent the devastation of the wetlands, and he wouldn't even grant the permits. Don't you think that that's an example of incompetence?
I think he wants to put it on the people, on the companies that's responsible.
Obama, in other words, so the way to cure the problem is to make it worse. Well, that's the thinking of a college professor. That's clear thinking. And in other words, make it worse so you could sue them. I see. Wow, that's the cleverer way to do things. I had only thought of that myself. So in other words, if a house is flooding, what you do is you let the whole house go under in order to prove how bad the people are who let the pipe break. Is that it?
No. Well, Obama doesn't know
that. Well, come on. Take a walk. The hell have you been eating up there in Sacramento? I mean, at least I have an excuse, for God's sakes. Chicago, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Limbaugh is paying off the liberals, and that is why he invited Elton John to his wedding. And I'm having some Terra de Oro from California, Amador County. And, you know, you hit it right on the head. He's the other side of the liberal wooden nickel.
Well, you know, the last caller was an Obamanic. I call him an Obamanic because the last end of that word is M-A-N-I-C, okay? No matter what Obama does, he's right. If you wake up in the next 6 months and you hear Rush getting soft on Obama, you'll know what happened, right?
Yes, sir.
And I expect it very soon. I saw it coming a long while ago with, I don't want to mention it again, but I saw when the leader, you remember when Obama was attacking Fox News repeatedly, when Axelrod kept ripping into them, remember? And then Obama attacked Fox News, and then there was a meeting between Axelrod and Roger Ailes. You remember what I predicted would happen? Is that everyone on Fox would lay off Obama. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
When have you last seen a frontal assault on Obama's failures by anybody on Fox News?
They, too, are in the hands of the libs. You know,
it's not that they're in the hands. Let us put it to you this way. There is one group of individuals who run the world. And they're not doing a very good job of it. And that is why the people are suddenly concerned about it. If they were doing such a good job of running the world, we wouldn't even be talking about them. But if you look deeply within who is at the Bilderberg meeting going on in Spain, and you see that some of the architects of the financial meltdown are there, such as Robert Rubin, who ran Citibank off the cliff. Off the cliff is sitting there with the Bilderbergs planning their next move. And that the head of Goldman Sachs International is there. And that Richard Holbrooke, who was the architect of the bombing of Serbia during their war in the Balkans, you take a look at what's going on and you know that these men are not very, very, let us say, concerned about individual liberty. Okay? The fact of the matter is, there is a conspiracy, and it's a conspiracy not of dunces, but of very intelligent, very, very Machiavellian men and women. And they're all meeting right now under secrecy in Spain. It is alleged that in 2 years ago, Hillary Clinton and Obama were in a meeting with the Bilderbergs in a secret meeting on an airplane. We cannot confirm or deny that. But soon thereafter, Obama became president. Stay tuned.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today. Any comments on Israel?
Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You're saying Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave all day.
The big story today is that I got rid of Helen Thomas. I mean, I did. I, on Friday, called for the White House press office to pull the press credentials from Helen Thomas for making not anti-Semitic remarks. No, no, no. It wasn't anti-Semitic. It was bigoted remarks. Clearly bigoted remarks. Now, I am very sensitive to freedom of speech because I've been burned by people who think that they should tell me what to say. This is not the same thing. Helen Thomas is not simply a reporter. I did not ask for her to be fired. I called for her to be thrown out of the White House press corps. You see? That's what I said. She was too biased to be in the White House press corps. Now, thank goodness that she's been thrown out. But I was also the first to ask a few other questions, which was this. Ari Fleischer, for example, former White House press secretary under G.W. Bush, must be a listener to the Savage Nation, because speaking on CNN, Fleischer asked an interviewer if he could imagine someone saying all blacks need to go back to Africa. This was exactly the example I, Michael Savage, used on Friday on this show. And the real question is, how could this have happened? The answer is because that's who she is. That's who she is. Unlike others in the media who are blinded by their own leftist prejudices, I immediately came out and said this was what had to be done. Because I, Michael Savage, in fact, am the conscience of the media. Oh, but the leftist media has now been stunning. Even talking heads at Fox News were today saying, give Helen Thomas a break. You see, once she decided to retire, the media couldn't stop singing her praises. She was a trailblazer for female reporters. Her career was long and distinguished. You had to appreciate her tenacity. They defended the indefensible at every turn. Well, I'm sorry. She should stay as a reporter. Perhaps she can report for the Stormfront Gazette or the Ku Klux Klan. Could probably use a good writer, right, Beowulf? I mean, they need some good help. She could be a PR agent for David Duke, for example. She could even go to work for the government of Lebanon or Syria. She'd go to work for Turkey. I think a perfect job for Helen Thomas is to move to Turkey and to become the press agent for Erdogan of Turkey. Let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. And now we go to the Bilderberg list. The Bilderberg is a secret group of New World Order people who want to run the world, right? In a secret meeting in Spain now, we got the list of participants. Most of them you wouldn't know, but I'm going to read you some of the names from the United States, and I'm going to ask you, do you think that they're qualified to establish a world government with them as the head of it? You know, no Congress or anything, no voting. That's, you know, I'll read some of the names you may have heard of. Donald Graham, chairman of the Washington Post, very liberal newspaper. He's there. Richard Holbrooke, special rep for Afghanistan and Pakistan. He's the man who bombed Serbia for Bill Clinton. Some of these names I never heard of. These are the real secret names. You know, John Keane, senior partner, SCP partner. Henry Kissinger, the man who gave our troops such a wonderful, wonderful ending to the Vietnam War. Klaus Kleinfeld, chairman and CEO of Alcoa Aluminum. USA, Henry R. Kravis, a founding partner of Kohlberg, Kravis, Roberts & Company. I mean, does anyone remember who they are? Does he remember Kohlberg? He's there now. Sure. He's going to run the world.
Barbarians at the gate, yeah.
Thank you. Any other names you might recognize here? Let's see.
Peter Orszag, Richard Perle is on there.
Microsoft Corp, chief research officer. Editor-in-chief, Foreign Policy Magazine. Peter Orszag, director of the budget for the USA. He really knows what he's doing, right? Richard Perle? Yeah. Resident fellow of the American Enterprise Institute. He's the neocon who gave us the Iraq War, isn't he?
That's right.
There he is. They never go away, do they?
Old neocons.
Wait,
never
here
die.
It comes. Charlie Rose,
oh.
Producer of a Rose Show. Richard Rubin, chairman of the Council of Foreign Relations, former Secretary of the Treasury, and by the way, one of the greatest schemers in the history of the banking world. He's one of the leaders of the world. Eric Schmidt, CEO, chairman of the board, Google. Google now. Larry Summers, he's doing a great job. He's there. Peter Thiel, president, capital management, Clarium Capital Management. Now, I don't know all these people here, but truthfully, many of them are the very people who gave us the meltdown, the financial meltdown that we are living through. That's the list of the Bilderberg Group. And remember, many participants requested the names not be added. Okay? Many, many people are hidden there. Back in 2008, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama attended the Bilderberg meeting in Virginia under a cloak of secrecy, so there are likely to be more attendees who were not included in this master list of Bilderbergers who want to control the world. In fact, they probably are those who put Obama in power. But remember, folks, the Bilderbergers, G8, G20, trilaterals, they meet regularly. They continue to do so. Henry Kissinger has been involved for the last 50 years. He worked for Rockefeller. Obama is in power, and he's passing ever more restrictive laws. The world economy is breaking down. Shall I go on and on? American Idol get more viewers than ever before, and most people don't even know what's going on. Will there ever be a straw that breaks the camel's back? Would our founding fathers have put up with even a fraction of this deceit and treatment? You know, something about Michael Savage brightens the spirit. I am a treasure for hard times. Who said that? Who said, oh, I don't know, I listened to him because something about him brightens the spirit. Michael Savage is a treasure for hard times. Who said that? I said that. Because if I am not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, who am I? Thank you. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It seems the Obama administration is taking over one industry after another. First the auto manufacturing, then the banks, now possibly oil. That's right, oil. Joining us now is Arthur Brooks, the president of the American Enterprise Institute, who says in his most recent book titled The Battle that this is an attack on our culture itself. Arthur Brooks, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great for you to have me on. I appreciate it very much.
Well, what is the message you're trying to get out?
The United States is in a culture struggle, a culture war, if you want, over free enterprise. And it's time for us to actually recognize the fact that the new culture war in this country is over the assault on the free enterprise system that we're facing. This is not a war over God, guns, and gays and abortions like we were talking about in the 1990s, but about whether or not the free enterprise system is going to remain central to America's culture or whether or not we're going to go the way of European social democracies and adopt a culture that has more governments, that has fewer entrepreneurs, that has more cradle-to-grave security, has more managed corporations, and whether or not we're simply going to sign over this capital at risk, this adventurous entrepreneurial system that we've enjoyed in the United States, and give it up for more redistribution and more statism.
Well, who says it's an attack on our culture?
You know, it's not just my idea that the United States is in a culture war. Actually, it's the President of the United States who says it.
Why do you say that?
In May of 2009, President Obama was speaking at the commencement of Arizona State University. It was his first commencement address as President of the United States. And here's what he told the graduates. This is it now. This is the darkest moment of the worst recession in 50 years. And here's the advice he gave the graduating seniors. He said, quote, "You're taught to chase after all the usual brass rings. You try to be on this who's who list or on that top 100 list. That has been in our culture for far too long. Let me suggest that such an approach won't get you where you want to go. It displays a poverty of ambition." Unquote. The President of the United States, in this terrible time, has the opportunity to be the inspirer-in-chief, to tell people to go out and create the companies and the jobs that'll pull our country out of the recession. But instead, he says that kind of ambition has been in our culture for far too long. So you know, I can pretend, or we all can pretend, that this is not a culture war we're in over free enterprise. But the president isn't pretending anything like that. The current Congress isn't pretending anything like that. And if we do pretend that, they're going to walk off with our culture. Most Americans intuitively understand that current economic policy today is really not about the money.
What is it about, then?
It's an attempt to change our culture. That's actually the genesis of the Tea Party movement in this country. It's a whole lot of people who've spontaneously come together to rebel against government intrusions into our economy, from bailouts to ballooning debt. They understand that it's an immoral thing to do. So, you know, all these conservatives in the United States, all these Republicans can go around saying free enterprise is great because it's good for economic efficiency, but they're missing the point. Free enterprise is good because it lets every American earn his success, and earned success is the life in life. It's the elixir of happiness. We have the data, and these are the data that are laid out in my book, chapter and verse. The reason I wrote the book is to show that the secret to the most fulfilling life for the greatest number of people is earned success, and that comes from the free enterprise system.
What do you think, Americans really want a free enterprise system anymore, or have they kind of moved beyond that?
The answer is absolutely they do. Here are the data, Michael, that make that case in black and white. And all of these data are laid out in this book, The Battle. And the reason I do that is because primarily I think it's my job to help make sure that people who agree with you and me about the free enterprise system never lose another argument. Think of this book as a handbook for never losing another argument against somebody who doesn't like the free enterprise system. And here's the central data that we find that support the idea that most Americans agree with us. No matter how you phrase the question, 70% of Americans support the free enterprise system, and 30% of Americans are against it. So, for example, in March of 2009, really dark moment in our history, the Pew Research Center, which is a nonpartisan organization, asked a large group of Americans, do you agree that the free market system is the best system for America's economy despite severe ups and downs? At that moment, 70% said yes. And only 30% either said no or they didn't know or they didn't answer the question. All of the survey data from all of the nonpartisan sources, from the University of Chicago's General Social Survey to the Gallup polling organization, they all tell the same story.
Really?
At least 70% of Americans favor the free enterprise system still.
How did they win then?
Well, the 30% coalition against free enterprise won huge victories in 2008 for two reasons. And this is something that I've heard you talk about on the radio a lot, number one, which is that the 70% majority, the people who share our point of view about the free enterprise system, they haven't been governing for a long time. We got to look at the facts, Michael, about what the Republicans did over the 8 years that they were governing. And one thing they weren't doing was acting respectfully toward the free enterprise system. George W. Bush, he signed legislation containing 55,000 spending earmarks and governed over the largest increase in entitlement spending in America's history with Medicare Part D. That's not the work of an administration that loves the free enterprise system and the private sector all that much, or at least it doesn't govern as if it did.
Exactly.
And that means that it's not just that the 30% coalition against free enterprise suddenly took over in November in 2008. They've been governing for a long time, and the 70% of us haven't had any options. It's time to take our country back and get some options so that people will represent our true interests. The contrast between the United States and Europe gives us a little bit of an understanding of what we might face if we make the wrong choice in the culture war over free enterprise.
Well, like what?
We see, for example, that when you ask, do you believe that the government should redistribute more money between the rich and the poor, only 33% of Americans currently say yes. 77% of Spaniards say that. That's an already socialist country, and their economy is in the toilet. This is a country where more than 3 out of 4 people think there should be even more redistribution. That's what we got to look forward to, or even better. Look at what's going on in the streets of Greece versus the streets of the United States. Here we have Tea Party protesters who are ethical populists, people who say the government should give us less stuff, that we should have a private country where we can earn our own success on our own merits. What's going on in Greece? You got bureaucrats throwing Molotov cocktails and burning down their own buildings because they want more stuff from the government, because they want to be able to retire at age 59. Crazy stuff. Seems impossible, right? Well, No, not right. If we don't change course right now, the street protesters in Greece are going to be the street protesters in San Francisco in 20 years' time, or maybe even less.
It's not left versus right. Who is left to care?
The answer is we really all should, because as I show as carefully as I possibly can using data in this book, this is not about money once again. This is about our ability to earn our success and earn success, which is best facilitated by the free enterprise system, is the secret for most people to have a happy, fulfilling, flourishing life. Now, once again, this comes from data based on, you know, large surveys of people and talking about how they feel they have the most satisfying lives. And people will answer that when they feel they've earned their own success, creating value in their lives or in the lives of others without any handouts, that's when they're happiest. We know, in point of fact, that the free enterprise system is the best system to give most people that opportunity. To take that away is simply unethical. And you know, that's what the kind of risk that we're facing. This is the crossroads that we're at. Are we going to continue to be a happy, flourishing free enterprise country, or are we going to be a grim, dour, withering continent like Europe?
Arthur Brooks, thanks for being on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it's been a pleasure being with you here today. There are a lot of people around the United States who listen to you faithfully and look to you for the ideas that are going to change our nation. I'm deeply grateful that you allowed me to be part of that message.
Savage.
We've talked about Israel and the so-called peace flotilla, and we heard the politicians denouncing Israel's actions to defend the terrorists. Where are the politicians who are standing up to defend Israel's right to survive? Well, there is one. Joining us now is Representative Michelle Bachmann to give us her thoughts on all that has happened. Good for her.
Michael, I think what we saw was a test that was given by the radical Sharia-compliant terrorist types. And I think that's very clear that they learned a lot about Israel's response and, unfortunately, about the United States' response, because this is what we know so far. Turkey knew in advance that a Turkish organization with ties to Hamas was going to launch a flotilla, and Turkey failed to stop it. If Turkey knew about this, it would be incredulous to think that the United States didn't know about this. If the United States knew about it, and the leader of the free world did nothing to stop it, that says something very strong about whether or not the United States has Israel's back in all of this. And I thought, really, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, said it best. He said this wasn't a love boat, this was a hate boat. One thing that we know is this event was predetermined, and it was predetermined for the purpose of specifically of trying to get a confrontation with Israel. And Israel cannot allow this breach of the blockade. The United States was on board with the blockade, as was Europe.
Mm-hmm.
The question was, where was Europe and where was the United States in standing with Israel against these, quote, peace activists who weren't peaceful at all? There were 50 people that didn't have passports, but they did have ties to global terrorist organizations. They had gas masks. They had bulletproof vests. Some of them were armed. And the immediate response of the IDF by these people was to be brutally violent to them with metal poles, knives, butcher knives, switchblade knives, worse. We even saw them throw some of the IDF over the side of the boat. They were pummeling the Israelis. And we know now that in recent reports that came out, some of President Obama's friends who launched his political career also helped launch the flotilla. Some reports came out that said the unrepentant terrorist Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn were parts who were responsible for launching this flotilla.
Hmm.
This was an intentional test, I believe, of United States-Israeli response. And I think that these types learned a lot about the response. In fact, even after this happened, at the funeral service of some of the Turks this week, the news reported that they plan to have even more breaches to Israel's blockade. So the question is, what will the United States do? Will we back up Israel or not? And we know who the provokers of violence is. Israel did not provoke this violence. It was people who came under the Turkish flag who provoked the violence. So really we have to ask, what's Israel supposed to do? Say, you win, we give up, bring in your bad actors, bring in your agitators, bring in your malcontents, bring in your thugs with your weapons. We won't resist. We won't defend our innocent children. We won't defend our innocent civilians. I mean, what do these people want? I think from some of their documents, we know what they want. They want to eliminate the Jewish state because it isn't Israel they mind so much as long as Israel is made up of Palestinians. It's the Jews in Israel that seem to bother them.
Hmm.
So I think we need to understand what happened and that there is no way of satisfying these people. Israel has existed now for 62 years. They've just had their birthday. And I think if we would look back in 62 years ago, it took Harry Truman exactly 11 minutes to recognize Israel's existence. My question would be, how long would it take President Obama today to recognize Israel's existence? And would Israel even win admission to the UN today if a vote had to be taken? And I guess I would ask, what other nation in the world, other than the United States, is reviled more than Israel? The United States is the greatest philanthropic nation that the world's ever known, but we're spat upon more and more by ungrateful agitators. And Israel is reviled merely for existing. And so I think we need to really ask our question now, will the United States man up? Will we man up? Will we stand by our ally Israel? And will we deliver some tough love to the thugs out there, or won't we? And unfortunately, the tepid response of the United States, I think, sends yet one more signal from the Obama administration of weakness when it comes to our friend Israel.
But why are we so surprised at what Obama's doing? It's insane. Only a more savage nation can survive, and here we've turned to left. Huh? Well, what else have we learned, Congresswoman?
Well, one thing that we have also learned is that federal government employees are paid a whopping big bonus and benefit beyond what people in the private sector are. A massive study came out and showed government statistics that federal government employees are paid on average 20% more than their counterparts in the private sector. This is a huge wage dividend, but it's even worse than that, Michael, because if you take the wage and benefit package, that's where it's really rich for benefiting those who are federal government employees. Because what the statistics show is that if you have someone who is in the federal government versus someone in the private sector, the federal government employee, when you add up all of the wages and all of the benefit packages, they are paid on average double what their counterpart is paid in the private sector. In fact, they're paid on average about $120,000 a year versus $60,000 a year in the private sector. This is unbelievable. And so to that end, I offered a bill in the United States Congress this last week that would eliminate the increase in wages for the federal government employee and would freeze the wages of members of Congress. Unfortunately, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats refused to allow that freeze to go into effect.
What a surprise.
And as a matter of fact, it's even worse than that. If you look at how good the recession was, how kind the recession was to the federal government employee, there was a massive increase in the hiring of federal government workers in the last 18 months during the recession. So here we are in a down economy, in a down recession, where private industry is shedding jobs by the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. And what's the federal government doing? It's bulking up, and in a sort of morbid obesity, they're adding hundreds of thousands of new employees on the federal government payroll. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the number of federal employees that were growing in their paychecks, it's astounding. 14% of all federal employees were making $100,000 or more just in their wages. That doesn't include their benefit package. At the beginning of the recession, 18 months into the recession, now it's 19% of all federal employees are making over $100,000 a year. And that's before bonuses, before overtime, before benefit packages. So the growth in wage benefit packages has been unbelievable. In fact, I can give you a better example than that. If you go to the Federal Department of Transportation, there was only one employee at the beginning of the recession that made over $170,000 a year. And again, that's before bonuses and before overtime and before benefit packages. There's one employee. Well, 18 months into the recession later, now what we're seeing is that there's 1,690 federal employees in the Department of Transportation that are making over $170,000 a year.
You can't be serious.
It's unbelievable. The explosion in growth in wages and in benefits and in salaries and just the overall number of federal employees. If there was ever a case to be made for freezing the salaries of federal employees, this study blows a hole through that. We absolutely need to start there. And yet, Nancy Pelosi and the crew that she's in charge of in the United States House of Representatives, they can't even find it within them to freeze the wages of people that are making on average double what those in the private sector make. And that doesn't even include the job security that people who are government employees enjoy. So it was really stunning to see all of this.
Where can we read more?
People can get more information at michellebachmann.com. I have my bill on that website. I have some videotape there of where I'm offering this bill on the floor. And the Democrats would have absolutely no part of it. They were unwilling to freeze their own salary, and they were unwilling to freeze the salaries of federal employees. If we can't even start there in the same week when we find out that we're at $13 trillion in debt and that now we have 90% debt to GDP, which means in all likelihood we'll lose our AAA bond rating, what these people have shown is they really aren't capable of governing. They're unwilling to put forth a budget because they're too ashamed to have their own members vote for $1.6 trillion in deficit. And so really, they've shown that they're incapable of governing and they're incapable of ever cutting. So I think this the contrast was clear, very stark, and I think we know who's going to be responsible this fall. It'll be constitutional conservatives. It certainly won't be the Nancy Pelosi's of the world.
Representative Bachmann, thanks for being a great person and for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it was awesome to be with you today. Thanks so much.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Today on the Savage Nation, we also discussed the Rush Limbaugh wedding. We are all sitting in a wonderment as to how a man who is allegedly the head of the conservative movement and who is opposed to homosexual marriage could invite a gay guy who's married to perform at his wedding named Elton John. And I ask today on both sides of the issue, if you're gay, do you feel Elton John discredited himself by singing at Rush Limbaugh's wedding? I mean, isn't there hypocrisy there as well? Huh? And then I asked, do you feel Rush Limbaugh discredited his own credibility by hiring Elton John to sing at his wedding? You see. And then I made some jokes. Rush Limbaugh hiring Elton John to sing at his wedding is the equivalent of, you ready for the list? Keith Olbermann having David Duke perform the service at his wedding. Rachel Maddow marrying her girlfriend and having G.W. Bush perform the ceremony. Nancy Pelosi buying lasagna from Mussolini's ravioli shop. Paul McCartney getting oral surgery from a KKK dentist in Alabama. Or Chris Matthews getting his few remaining hairs trimmed by Joran van der Sloot in Aruba. How about Jerry Seinfeld buying kosher bacon in Syria? Or Bill Maher buying drugs from the Aryan Nation? Or Rahm Emanuel buying bullets from the neo-Nazi reloader in Montana. I mean, that's the equivalent of Rush Limbaugh hiring Elton John to sing at his wedding, isn't it? Or Nancy Reagan hiring Madonna to perform the funeral service for Ronald Reagan. Or Obama appointing Kenneth Starr as Attorney General.
Well, how about Jimmy Carter converting to Judaism and hiring Sammy Davis Jr. as a Moel? Oh, stop. Or Bill Clinton taking a public vow of celibacy officiated by Pope Benedict. Or how about this one? What if you read tomorrow that Robert Byrd requested in his will that Clarence Thomas be a pallbearer at his funeral? And finally, it's the equivalent of Helen Thomas hiring Jackie Mason to perform at her great-granddaughter's bat mitzvah in Israel. Those are some of the wacky ideas we had today on the Savage Nation, all because Rush Limbaugh hired Elton John to sing at his wedding, and Helen Thomas said Jews should get the hell out of Palestine and go back to Germany and Poland. Really? Well, Helen, we suggest you go back to Turkey, shall we say?
I guess that's why they call it the
blues. You heard what the bigot said last week.
Any comments on Israel? We're arresting everybody today. Any comments?
Tell them
on
to
Israel?
Get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land. Not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You think Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
And if you think that that's horrible, what Helen Thomas said, just listen to how the leftist media covered her retirement.
The longtime White House reporter Helen Thomas has just announced she's retiring.
Helen Thomas has broken down many barriers for women. Should that count for some?
The end of Helen Thomas's career at the White House.
She is retiring, effective immediately.
She clearly was a trailblazer for women covering the White House.
Her career, which was long and distinguished.
The longtime reporter just announcing today that she will be leaving her spot as a longtime Helen Thomas.
She broke down some barriers for females at a time when news was a male-dominated world.
The 89-year-old embroiled in a bit of a controversy.
She is the longest-serving member of the White House press corps.
After many decades covering the White House in the White House press corps.
She has a lifelong achievement for women and in journalism.
Perhaps the best-known face in the White House press room.
You have to appreciate her tenacity as a journalist.
Get the hell out. Go home.
And now she's gone.
Well, that's not surprising when the whole White House press corps sang happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday, dear Helen! Happy birthday to you!
You see, she was more than one of them. She was them. They are the world.
I'm a liberal. I was born a liberal. I'll be one till I die. What else should a reporter be when you see so much and when we have such great privilege and access to the truth?
Meanwhile, more Muslim converts and Muslim terrorists were stopped at JFK Airport.
What can you tell us about this ongoing operation?
Well, we know it dates back several years, perhaps as long as dating back to 2006. An NYPD detective and the intelligence division of the NYPD was able to infiltrate or follow these men as they apparently did some training and made some contacts overseas. And then increasingly they grew concerned that they were trying to hook up with an Al-Qaeda affiliate in Somalia. Last night, they apparently headed to the airport for a trip there for apparent terror training, and that's when they decided to move and make the arrests and also begin searches of the two men's homes in northern New Jersey. The main concern, as explained to me, is that they were going to travel overseas to hook up with these groups, receive some training, and perhaps seek out U.S. troops overseas, that there was nothing to indicate there was any threat or plot here inside the U.S.
And Democrats are saying Obama has to take advantage of the oil spill.
The narrative, frankly, for the summer and the fall for Democrats to seize this moment, take advantage of an awful and perverse set of facts, and talk about how America grows from the moment and prepares for the future.
All right, play music for me now. Heinz ketchup is changing its famous recipe by lowering the salt content in order to appeal to more health-conscious consumers, which I think is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I love ketchup myself. I'm a ketchup lover. I used to use the hippie ketchup in the 70s when I was into that. It's disgusting.
Have you ever tried the hippie ketchup? It's horrible. You know, all natural with nothing in it. Why use it? The whole object of using a sauce is to get a flavor out of it. I mean, I know it has salt in it, so what? So I eat grapes at night after I eat something high in salt. How smart do you have to be? If you indulge too much in sodium, so before you go to sleep, say eat a half a banana. You know what I'm saying? What is wrong with this country that everything has to be an extremist response? Please don't call me on ketchup. This is not really a traditional talk show, I admit it. What this is one man in the wilderness thinking out loud. The Savage Nation is unlike any other talk show, I know that. You know, whether you agree with me or disagree with me, the reason you're listening is you're interested in how I do it, what I'm going to say next. I understand that, because a naked personality, a naked mind, rather, is a terrible thing to waste.